And now, part three of Boogie Woogie to the Stars. Last week, and the week before, you may recall, Jalalu Katumi, the four-armed Tagorian, and Deborah R116, the professor of voodoo studies from the prestigious ivy-covered halls of old Luna U, are thrown together by fate and the author on the hostile planet of Jazuli III. While attempting to escape a fierce pack of six-legged jackal-like creatures called Blavatsky Sleepers, the two men sought refuge in a cave. It was there they found themselves in the presence of the great Jazuli Stinkball, known as the dreaded Spulaga. Jalalu blasted the unsavory Spulaga, but his blast, alas, sealed off the mouth of the cave. Forced to look for another exit, they found a passageway that took them deeper and deeper into the mountain. Following the dim passage, they came upon several bluish oval lights, creatures without bodies called... Oh, I forgot to say that in Jazuli mythology, it is claimed that sleeping beneath this very mountain is a god called the Umbriago, the all-imperfect one. Well, as they continued, they came upon an underground lake. They found a canoe and started paddling across the lake. But Deborah noticed giant bubbles following in their wake, and suddenly rising up out of the black waters was an enormous woosha, or lake serpent. The serpent, apparently hungry or protecting its territory, we aren't certain which, rose up out of the water and came crashing down on the canoe just as Jalalu blasted it between the eyes, momentarily stunning the brain. Not really hurting it, but just sort of blithering its brain for a couple of minutes. And Devereaux, the professor, couldn't swim, so the four-armed Tagorian, who happens to be a fantastic swimmer, saved the drowning Devereaux and pulled him to the safety of the shore. Finally, we have arrived, almost, where Deborah exclaims, "There's silverish slime smeared along the passage." Jalalu will tell him it's Alakapul, which in Tagorian means slime in the moonlight. So, now, part three of Boogie Woogie to the Stars and Bach Again.
The Terran professor and the Tagorian ranger follow a passageway that appears to be leading them deeper and deeper into the heart of the mountain.
What is this silverishness I see glowing in the dark here?
Laka'il.
What?
Slime.
Slime? Why is it smeared upon the walls?
Obese.
What do you mean, obese?
Big fat slug.
What?
The patches separate here. The right fork proceed upward and the left downward. Which would you like?
Upward. What is it that leaves a trail of slime?
The professor does not want to know.
Listen, thick-headed Tagorian. Of course I want to.
What is that?
Knowledge. Jalalu believe we've taken the wrong passage, right?
Agreed.
Shall we run?
Fine. What was that?
What it is. You little beast, gastropod.
A snail? How the hell do you figure it's so big?
Oh, could be little snail with a big voice.
Don't pull my leg when I'm trying to run. It confuses me. Good grief, how can a belly-footed gastropod move so quickly? What's the hell that mean?
Slime propulsion.
Disgusting.
Two long stalks, antenna eyes. Pop out of the dark, followed by a slippery, silver, slime-coated, monstrous mass of great grayish hulk of a slug.
Hey, it's right behind me.
And here it comes, looming out of the darkness like a nightmare freight train roaring through a tunnel.
Wait for me. I think it's slipping on this damn flat. How can I run when... Oh! Well...
Deborah was down, slipped in the slime. The gastropod is upon him. Jalalu whirls around, levels his blaster, and... Nothing happens. Slowly, the foul fleshiness creeps over the professor while its crusty, sucking mouth savors this scholarly, delectable dish. when suddenly a blast of electric blue strikes the monstrous slug, instantly cooking the great glob to a smoking crispness.
Phew! The Tadon does not like escargot. Phew.
You sure as hell took your time before blasting this thing.
It was not Jalalu who blessed.
No?
No, see? My blaster is inoperative.
Good Lord. Then who?
Whom? The air. Who knows?
Well, escargot or not, I can't say it's an entree that would thrill a gourmet.
Wendy, you will have a sense of humor.
Being with you has... Hear that?
Look, down the passage. There's light down there. Very interesting. Come on.
I'm coming. What is it?
Come inside and see.
My God, we've stepped into a giant brain.
The all-imperfect Umbriago. No longer merely dreams. Only a small portion of the brain has been awakened. The rest still slumbers.
I've never seen a computer that looked like this thing. How long would you say it's been here? 50 years? 100 years?
Perhaps 3,000 or 4,000 turns.
4,000 years? Good Lord, what kind of intelligence could build this?
The peoples of Jazuli III.
There are no Jazulis, only some myths left behind. Who were the Jazulis?
In Tagorian myth, lifted from Jazuli mythology, the all-imperfect Umbriago is a god who sleep, who dream, and one day he will awaken.
Why did they build this brain? My God, man, what happened to them?
Jazulis may have phased themselves out as a race. Pre-programmed extinction.
Why? How can you select such a possibility without exact information?
I know the Jazuli myths. You do not. Jazuli were highly evolved practitioners of voodoo. Perhaps they created a technological means of contacting the lower.
Communication with their gods by means of this brain?
Gods do not move easily themselves. Often the incarnate being must move them through prayer, through dance, through ritual.
Yes, of course, but who were the Jazulis?
The ancients used drum rhythms and precise rituals to activate the lords, who would then enter them. Their bodies would dance while their souls experienced a great peacefulness. This was true of many religions. Even the Christian faith would pray for the spirit of Jesus to enter them. In the Pentecostal branch of the Christian faith, when the spirit entered, they spoke in tongues. But would it be possible for an advanced intelligence to perfect these old ways instead of abandoning them as the culture became more sophisticated technologically?
Perhaps they kept their primal purity. Perhaps they developed to a precise science, a true communication with the gods.
All right, but to create a brain that would activate their own god selves 4,000 years in the future, don't you find that a little difficult to accept?
The Gorian would say, to believe such as that, you need a lot of loose space in the head. But you see, as we stand here and talk, other parts of the Umbriago continue to awaken.
Meanwhile, outside our concepts of time and space, somewhere out there in nowhere, two of the lesser gods are slowly becoming aware of their existence.
Ouch! My head.
Ah, but look at our creation.
Okay, we've created a mountain and a planet for the mountain to sit upon. But my mind is still muddled.
Moist?
Not moist, muddled.
It is a feeling of unknown powers. You feel without limitation, no barrier, no walls, great power.
That's what I'm feeling?
Yes. Even gods exist in a hierarchy.
I suppose. But the ideal of total freedom, absolutely no restrictions, is a fantastic thought.
just decreated our mountain.
Sorry.
We have to think it again.
I never realized creation could be so unstable.
Gods must learn cooperation. Otherwise, I create and you destroy.
I'll be careful, but...
What?
What if I have to sneeze? I could blow out the whole solar system.
Well, there are several passageways out of here. One of these passageways must lead to the surface. Which shall we choose?
Does not matter.
Okay, why not try this one? It
Wait,
appears...
Don't! Ow! The bell is okay.
What the hell did I step into?
Invisible barrier.
Obviously.
The Umbriago allowed to enter, but when wished to leave...
Use your blaster.
My blaster still does not work.
The computer has obviously set up a protective force field.
Worse.
Worse.
The mind of the all-imperfect Umbriago controls everything in this mountain. Maybe everything on Jesuit 3. Now it wishes to control our mind.
I don't understand.
You did not notice the air is too thick, no?
Yes.
The Umbriago wishes to know.
To know?
Yes.
Know what?
Whether we are foe or friend.
What is it doing to me?
Delving beyond the surface.
Beyond?
The all-imperfect one wishes to talk to our souls.
Thank you.
apologize that our thrilling story should end without being resolved, just like life. But that's all there is. The author is out hunting spulagas in the moonlight and has never completed the adventure. But one day, in the future, you may hear again that familiar cry.
Hey, spulaga!
Was the Duke, Skip played the mothership, Peter Sanderdos as the chief and the great garbanzo, and John Gunther as the first guy. Dave Adams played Jalalu, and Matt Matthews played Professor Devereaux. Dave Herman was the narrator. If you are interested in obtaining your own personal copy of Stars and Stuff on tape, then write to ZBS Media, RD1, Fort Edward, New York, 12828. And a special thanks to Tim Clark, who provided the intro and outro music and just about all the other music you heard in this series. All the stories were written by Meatball Fulton, well-known raconteur and author of the Jack Flanders series. Keep an ear out for Jack's newest series called The Incredible Adventures of Jack Flanders. It will be coming out sometime in the not-too-near, but also in the not-too-distant future of us all.
Stars and Stuff is produced by ZBS Media.